Earth and Sky.
I think with nanotechnology, there will certainly be accidents and there will certainly be misuses. But I think that they will be outweighed by the positive things that that are being developed. In fact, that a lot of which are already, you know, available today.
That was Mark Binger of Lux Research, a research and advisory firm that explores the impacts of emerging technologies, including nanotechnology. And you're listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science podcast. Binger was one of a panel of experts who probed nanotech issues in a Fred-friendly seminars series being broadcast on public television stations in 2008. The series title is Nanotechnology, The Power of Small. EarthSky's Jeremy Shear spoke to Binger about the nanotechnology panel and about what risk-taking says about a culture.
What were some of the most interesting or most important questions that were raised to your mind?
Well, I think the fundamental question that all the other ones really pointed to is how much risk are we willing to accept for a given benefit in a new technology?
Yeah, and I mean, what kind of risks are we talking about?
For the most part, I would say that there are some materials that fall into the category of nanotechnology that could be akin to something like asbestos or genetically modified foods or DDT, just to name some past technologies that we initially thought were benign but turned out to have a dark side. Now, I think it's far from all nanotechnologies that fall into that category.
Mm-hmm. But I guess the idea here is to really take pains to ask the right questions and be careful so as to avoid some of the mistakes in the past with things like asbestos or even things that we eat that turn out not to be so good for us.
I think nanotechnology is a nice lightning rod for that discussion because it's a good combination of scientifically challenging but not so esoteric that most people couldn't understand it. At the same time that it's got real-world applications that a lot of people really care about. Again, energy and food and things like that, sports equipment, but also medical therapies and some really critical things that people have a lot of interest in.
Mm-hmm. And now I know that in the panel toward the end, you kind of had the final comment, and it had something to do with how these sorts of discussions are good for democracy. Could you say more about that?
There are so many decisions that we kind of defer to experts on and that we leave to somebody else who has the power or the knowledge. And I think that's really dangerous. And I think it's, really undermines the core of what we should be about as a nation and as a species. You know, you've got things like the war in Iraq or of global warming or of any other of these critical issues that society faces today. I don't think that we are active enough. We're not informed enough, and you know, we kind of punt. We leave it up to the experts and to the people in power to decide. But I really hope that that'll change, because there's so much that is like nanotechnology just starting to emerge that's going to affect our lives, it's going to affect our society, and that we need to not be passive and just kind of watch it happen.
Mm-hmm. And so the more that we talk about it together, not just scientists talking in the lab, but just people of all different sorts talking about it, the better off we are.
Yeah, the better off we are. And the better, I think that as a person or as a people, you grow when you take risks. There's a cost to that, too. And there's some that we should rightfully decline. We should pass on. There's just not enough benefit for the potential damage that would occur. But there are a lot of things that I think that we just look at risk and we pass on. And historically, we haven't been that way. And if you look internationally, most of the emerging nations today take big risks, whether it's just things like, you know, investments in, you know, great big new universities or buildings, it could also be things like, you know, the Indian and the Chinese space program. So there's a lot of stuff that I think our comfort level has gotten maybe a little bit too high, and we're missing some opportunities for growth.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know on the panel that you participated in, one of the final questions put to the panelists was projecting 10, 20 years into the future, looking back, where will we stand in terms of nanotechnology? And how did you respond to that question? Maybe you could expand on your answer here.
Yeah, you know, I think I think predicting the future is really hard, as, you know, to paraphrase Yogi Berra. I think that a lot of the benefits of nanotechnology will come from nanotechnology directly. So I think that in particular in the area of medicine where I really focus, the benefits in how we treat cancer and how we treat diseases of aging, how we treat genetic diseases, I think that there's a whole lot of potential. And I'd be really surprised if we weren't just overall healthier and you know, physically better off because of medical nanotechnology. I think that there's going to be a lot of really neat stuff in some of the fields of consumer products and things like that. I think that there are some things in aerospace and in military applications that we might not be too comfortable with today, but that we might, again, sort of take for granted in that time frame.
That was Mark Binger in San Francisco. He's research director for Lux Research, which focused on emerging technologies. This special Clear Voices for Science podcast was produced in cooperation with ICANN Productions and the Fred Friendly Seminars, with funding from the Department of Energy and the National Science Foundation. Go to powerofsmall.org to find out more. I'm Joel Block, and this is EarthSky's Clear Voices for Science podcast.
We're at earthsky.org.